I'm Peter Bonner McNess, and he is Chris Lang. And welcome to another of these regular property briefings. And a warm welcome to you, Chris.
Well, thank you, and it's good to be with you again.
A couple of episodes ago, you covered in some detail the aspect of due diligence, which you recommend should only be formally undertaken once you have the property under contract. However, I wonder if you might give us a few insights on the depth of analysis you would undertake before actually deciding to purchase a property.
Well, obviously the first thing you look at is your financial aspects, but you've got to look a little bit deeper than that. And things like the initial appeal, I mean, what your first impression is. Then you look at things like how the property has been managed up till now, whether it's been managed well or not. Now, that might give you opportunities to improve there. Down the track, what's the future flexibility? And part of the appeal is the standard of finish and the design, whether that is going to be enduring, and the quality of services, you know, your lifts, your air conditioning, things like that, plus the on-site amenities. And of course, you've got things to consider like environmental issues. So there's a number of aspects that you need to look at as part of your due diligence.
Okay. Now you've scoped the various aspects, perhaps you might care to explain them in a little more detail.
Well, when you start with financial aspects, yes, you're looking at the income and the sort of price that's being asked. And you compare it against the yardsticks, and we've discussed this, I think, in earlier podcasts, that you have yardsticks for comparison, and on the price, it's things like the overall cost of a commercial property per square meter of its net lettable area. In other words, you need to establish whether the cost of the space in the building that you're considering is actually greater than the cost of usable space in other buildings that have been sold nearby or recently. And when you do that, it helps you to determine whether your building has a more efficient layout or is simply overpriced. And the other aspect you look at is when it comes to your building, whether it can sustain the present level of rental. Now, let's just assume it's at market level. It may be below market level, but if it is at market level, can the building, by virtue of its age and condition, is it able to sustain that? Or will the building need some refurbishment or some upgrading in the near future to continue to command that level? And it may well be that by doing the upgrade, you can actually increase the level of rent. But again, it's a matter of doing your homework, and with the due diligence, as we've said, it's something that you do after you have control of the property. It's not something you spend time, effort, money doing before you bought it, but you make it part of the negotiation. And I think when I've talked about it, generally for properties that are either standalone or for properties over $1 million, probably not worth engaging the consultants for a property, you know, for $400,000 or $500,000. Generally, those are strata units, and by virtue of the fact that they've been occupied and the owner's corporation's been involved over the period of the previous owners, you generally find that there are no major issues that you need to concern yourself about. So we also talked about initial appeal. Here, you're making a judgment on how the appearance of the building compares with others on offer, both visually now and whether or not, by virtue of its design or facade, are going to date over time. And you also need to consider how easy the building will be to maintain. And that could be a combination of its present age or how well it's been maintained in the past. and whether or not the initial construction was of a good quality in the first place. You know, given the current climate, security becomes an important issue, and your tenants will be looking for quality services, pleasant surroundings, plenty of parking. In other words, are the tenants within your building getting value for the rent that they're being asked to pay?
I think you also mentioned something about the ongoing management of the property.
Here you're looking at the overall quality of the management that's been going on up until now. And I mean, this can be sound pretty boring, but you need to understand how accessible the plant and equipment is and how well it's been maintained. And is there room in the plant room to move around as far as contractors are concerned? And things like during the construction, were there low maintenance materials used? Are there energy saving or energy efficient measures taken with the equipment? So you're going to need to engage professional help to determine how adequate this is and also the ongoing monitoring and control of that equipment. I think we talked about also flexibility, and here we're talking about actual floor layouts and to enable you, a whole tenant, to easily subdivide, but also you to subdivide into perhaps smaller titles. And even if it's a strata floor, you still by law can further subdivide the floor, provided you don't create any additional common areas. So, I mean, recently I acted for a client, and out of one whole floor, we created three separate titles. And so that means that he's got flexibility. He can sell off one or two of them because he was occupying one and the floor was larger than he needed. But alternatively, he has the flexibility of knowing that he could sell them off individually, or alternatively, when he comes to sell the whole lot as a whole down the track, the next purchaser has a comfort of knowing they've got that flexibility. So it's partly designed, but apart from those layout issues, you look at the building from the point of view, or the part of the building you own, is it adaptable as far as technology is concerned? New communication systems, perhaps automation, and information processing, because it's all becoming very relevant for tenants now. So these are the sort of things you need to look at as far as down the track's concerned.
How important are things like the standard of finishes and the quality of services?
Well, depending upon the building's age, it should be somewhat creative in its architectural and engineering design. And you may well find that that is reflected in the use of innovative materials. Now, having said that, simply using trendy materials is of little use if they end up proving unsuitable for the purpose that they are intended, or they will date down the track. I mean, there are some buildings you look at and say that was built in the 80s or the 90s, and it's just dated. And yet there's other buildings that were built then that, from the exterior certainly, look as modern today as it obviously was then. Now, it might have gone through several refurbs internally, but the exterior didn't need much work being done because it was functional. It was, timeless. And, the quality of services, even though the building's fully air-conditioned, it may lack sufficient capacity to meet the needs of a modern-day tenant. And I say that because there are obviously far more computers used in an office today than was 10, 15, 20 years ago. So it's a capacity issue. Now, that's partly the ductwork, but it's probably more the capacity of the air conditioning units themselves. So again, this is where you have an expert come in and they advise you of the suitability of the equipment. And you need to also look at things like your lighting system, lift services, fire protection, security services, etc., because these all need to comply with the occupational health and safety requirements or the essential services regulations that are current today. So again, it needs an expert's input.
I guess the on-site amenities are also rather important.
Well, obviously, yes, on-site amenities are important as much as the surrounding amenities. I mean, do the tenants have after-hours access? What facilities are there within the building for the disabled? Are there tea rooms on every floor? What about, are there boardrooms for hire if it's a strata title office so that the individual tenants don't have to provide meeting room space as a common space? Is there car parking for visitors as well as for the tenants? I mean, you might look at these and say these are minor issues, but they can all add up to you achieving more or less rental than a building down the street that you're competing with. And I think I mentioned environmental issues, and these relate in part to how well the overall site has been planned and how the building has been orientated. But equally, you need to consider, you know, how efficient things are, like your lighting, your heating, will operate both from an energy consumption point of view as well as the overall running costs involved. Now, it's only more with a standalone building that you have things like site contamination and so forth as far as the environment's concerned. But, you know, hopefully these, what I've covered, it give you an insight into the due diligence process that I embark upon as far as on behalf of my clients when helping them acquire property. And look, it's not rocket science, but it's something that needs to be done. And as I said, you do it after you've got your foot on the property and control it under contract.
As I was listening to you, I couldn't help thinking that most of this is basically just common sense.
Well, you're right, although you do get better at it with practice, and still there's a lot that you can discern from your first inspection without the need for you to engage a professional at this initial stage.
Well, thanks again for providing our listeners with several worthwhile insights.
Well, it's my pleasure.